This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drum, and we're at the World Open in Arlington, Virginia. It's about 8:30 in the morning, right before round 8, and before all the frenetic stampeding going on downstairs will take place. But I have with me International Master Farai Mandisa. He's a Zimbabwean international, and we're just going to talk to him about his chess, his chess activities, and just some other general questions. How's it going so far, Farai?
I'm recovering from long year of training kids, so I think I'm surviving.
So you're involved in which program?
Right now, I'm mainly working with Sunil at Hunter Pro Chess Program. So I'm doing camps, curriculum classes, and tournaments.
So you enjoy it, or is it nerve-wracking?
Oh, I mean, I enjoy it, actually. That's why, sometimes I don't play as many tournaments as I used to play when I was, in my, early years here. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do enjoy it.
So you've been based in New York the whole time since you've been here. How long has it been?
It's about 5 years now. I came here in 06, but I was back and forth. Then I decided to stay for a bit. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you, and so you're from Zimbabwe, and you play for the Olympia team. You actually earn your international master's title here. You got all three norms here?
Yes. The first one was Foxwoods. That was in 06, my first tournament, major tournament in U.S. And then I... and the other the norms in New York, and then the other one in Philadelphia.
So tell me, New York is, you've been there 5 years, and you're from Harare?
Yes.
So what can you kind of compare the cities in terms of similarities and differences?
New York City is big. Harare is like, I would probably compare Harare with a small city, what can I say? Even like Boston, that's typically a Harare.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you find the environment very exciting? The excitement. A lot of people are excited about New York. So, what are your impressions on New York since you've been there?
You don't want to live in New York, one thing for sure. I mean, I've tried. I wanted to go to live in Arizona. So the first day when I got off the plane, I couldn't find any transportation. I have to buy a car. And in New York, you don't need a car. You just have to, to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And once you lived in New York, I think it's hard for you to live somewhere else because everything is fast.
Right.
You're getting used to a fast, stuff going on in New York.
So have you quickened in terms of your personality and pace? Have you sped up?
For sure. you're doing a lot of things. You're working. You're teaching private lessons. You have to... No, exactly. Sometimes for you to survive, this business, you need to be on the dot. If you tell somebody you have to be there at 6 o'clock, you must be there at 6 o'clock. So you need to know all the subway system, how it works for you, mm-hmm. how quickly you can get there.
So let's talk about chess a little bit. When did you pick up chess back in Zimbabwe?
When I was in that is form one, and it's grade 8 here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically people were playing chess in the classroom. And I think I was one of the best math students. So I had to play chess. I thought, since I'm the best student in the class, probably I'm better than everybody else. Because I thought this was a calculating game, mm-hmm. which requires math, but maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is how I picked it up.
So then you picked it up, and then you somehow decided that this was... something that you could play, or did you leave it for a while and come back to it?
Usually I would take breaks in between school. What I would do is I would only study chess on Fridays, mm-hmm. Before the festival. Any other days I was so busy because I was living in a rural area whereby you've got so much work to do at home. Mm-hmm. The only time you can take chess is Friday nights. Get ready for your tournament, you win, you throw away the chess boards.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So then you kind of rose through the ranks. You played in some tournaments. And so could you kind of explain how you progressed in Zimbabwe and to make the national team?
Initially, I couldn't qualify for my own team back, you know, in the rural area, because we used to have the selection tournament. Even though I was kind of in between, I would lose most of my games in that selection. But because I was a favorite, I would still go. Then after 2 years of playing chess, I played the national juniors in Zimbabwe, with facing all these strong players, usually mostly from urban areas. So it was a surprise because I won the tournament.
Was the Robert Gwaze playing in those tournaments or?
He wasn't playing. I think he had gone to the Olympiad. Yes, that time. So he wasn't playing.
So, and Robert Gwaze, he's an international master, got some fame in 2002. He went 9-0, scored 9 out of 9, and that was really a big deal. Is the chess community vibrant in Zimbabwe? Is it, you know, a lot of excitement, or could you kind of explain what chess is like there?
Chess in Zimbabwe, scholastic chess is more exciting. One thing for sure, there's so much to do. You know, there's a reason for you to play in the scholastic chess. It's active. After scholastic chess is dry.
Really?
It's dry.
Because there's a famous street in Zimbabwe, because I wrote an article and they had this street where they play a lot of blitz, and I don't know the name of the street, but yeah, this is this street where people, I guess, hustle.
Yeah, this is the Resende chess, right? It's just like here. St. Nicholas chess is not chess in USA, right? That is the same thing. Like, Resende chess tree is not chess in Zimbabwe, because this is just for boozers having fun, you know, trying to, you know, earn some dollars. You're not really earning money, but it's fun to take someone's money over the chessboard.
Is that what you were doing?
It's just fun. So I'll probably do it, you know. It's just fun. It's not like you know, I wouldn't want to say it's gambling. Because honestly, you're not living on that money. You're just having so much fun. Yes.
Yeah, it's like back in the day when I was a junior player, used to play for quarters. I mean, we weren't trying to get rich. I mean, it was just something to do. I don't gamble anything now, but I know that when you got here, people didn't know who you were, but then you started getting a reputation because of your blitz skills. And then you've become kind of famous, you know, for your blitz skills. Do you still play a lot in those parks? You know, blitz?
I haven't played in the park for the past 2 years.
Okay.
Yes, it's so surprising that people, they thought I was a blitz player, but I don't believe in that. You know, it maybe I was just, you know, okay player to play chess around that time.
But I saw you play, and you're very quick. You're very quick, and and you had a lot of people who were amazed at your skills, your skill level. Maybe it's part because they didn't know who you were, didn't know your strength level. But I know there's this fascination with players from Africa, and we don't often see a lot of players. We see a lot of Nigerians. You saw the Nigerians here. There are lots of them here, but we don't see many players from different countries. Is it what do you think would be a way that we can produce stronger players on the continent? Because there's talent. There's lots of talent there, but it seems like it stops somewhere.
It's all about passion. I think if you can find a kid with passion, you can invest in that kid, and definitely that kid will be very successful. Unlike in my case, you know, I had to pull myself, you know, I had to find my way to all these tournaments. Every time whenever I used to win some prize monies, I would save it for the next tournament. Like, I went to Libya for the Africa Junior. I went to the World Youth in India, World Under 20. I was, you know, sponsoring myself through all these tournaments.
Wow, that's not very cheap.
That's not very cheap for sure. So if there's a kid with the talent and he doesn't have those resources, or he's not willing to risk whatever he has, then he's not going to become, you know, a strong player at any point. He's not going to be recognized as a strong player.
So do you still keep in contact with in touch in the Zimbabwe scene or the African scene in general?
Yes, I do. You know, because of Facebook, so you just have to update yourself what is going on through Facebook.
So who do you think we're going to be in Trumso next month for the Olympiad? And there'll be 180 teams there, a lot of African teams. Do you see any promising talent coming through that could potentially become, you know, maybe a grandmaster or at least an international master?
You know, it's really hard because Olympiad, they are playing the best from each country, mm-hmm. right? So if you have a good tournament, like an African player, you might get double norms.
Which Kenny Solomon.
Like what happened to Kenny Solomon last year, last Olympiad. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, other than that, you know, even the South African team, I've heard that, you know, it doesn't have much change, which means Kenny Solomon will be there, Wande Kobiese will be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the guys who can actually do something. And Zim team, probably if I, you know, recover, maybe I'll do something. And there's also Makoto, Rodo Makoto is also
very good.
And even these upcoming guys who are in the team right now, you never know, because those guys, they are national champions. So they might do something as a surprise. They have no FIDE ratings, but they're okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, a lot of African players are underrated. I mean, you see them, the Zambian players, you see the Nigerian players, and these players are strong. They don't have the ratings, but when they go to Olympiad, then you look at the results, especially in the first round, when usually it's a very strong team playing some of the weaker teams, and then you see them getting all these upsets, and it's just, I think there's just, perhaps there's a lack of sponsorship, you know, in Africa that would help a lot of these players pursue their passions. Do you think that there's a way to get sponsorship, or is that more a political issue in Africa?
It's hard because, look, here you can play a tournament, right? Even though there's no sponsorship, people are kind of using the entry fees as sponsorship, and grandmasters are playing. But in Africa, we don't have that. We don't have FIDE tournaments. Even my nationals, the nationals I used to play in Zimbabwe, they were not rated. Mm. They just know, oh, this is Farai, this is Robert Gwaze. We don't really care about the ratings. But we know each other, you know, as a community, because it's not a big community where you don't know people. You just say, oh, this guy is strong, this guy is number three, or we are surprised that this guy won the tournament. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And as of, you know, I think this year there's huge progress. They are starting the FIDE tournaments. So this might help, especially if people like me would go back home and get beaten up by those guys, and then they'll gain rating points.
Right.
Next
right.
time, you know, it's like, next time if I beat them up, I'll get my points back, but they have gained something. They're not going to lose it all mm-hmm. in that case.
So let's switch gears just a little bit on in the international chess scene. We have a new world champion. December, Magnus Carlsen won the world championship over Viswanathan Anand, and I'm pretty sure you followed that match, and they have one coming up in November. What is your view of Magnus Carlsen? Do you like him as a player, or his style? Is there anything about him that that kind of strikes you as being, you know, different, or is he just like all the other grandmasters that have come through?
Who doesn't like Magnus Carlsen? Everybody loves a winner, right? But it's not. It's as much as I like Magnus Carlsen, you know, as a teacher myself, I like something I could be able to teach. Mm-hmm. I can follow Magnus Carlsen games, but I can never teach them. That's the sad part of it.
You know? Is it because of his strength or his style?
I think it's because of his style. There's nothing to teach, you know? For example, you can teach the fried liver, the typical stuff, like, oh, this is the idea, you know, you can stop it there, or this is the trick. Mm-hmm. But with Magnus Carlsen, there are no tricks. Every move is a trick. So you have to understand it in depth to say, okay, this is the idea, mm-hmm. you know. So it's kind of sophisticated guy. So even like, for example, when he plays black, he's playing the Groomfield, what can you teach to the kids? You know, sometimes when he plays the Scotch, there's nothing you can teach. You just say, hey, the Scotch wins.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes,
you're right.
Yes.
So it have you met Magnus? Because he's come to New York quite a bit.
I didn't really met him, but I've seen him, you know, like 2 steps away.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you think about this rematch? You think Anand stands a better chance of maybe taking the crown back, or is Magnus motivated enough to win again?
Definitely, Anand is gonna play better. If this is now, I wouldn't put my money on Magnus, and I wouldn't put my money on Anand, because it's a different ballgame now. Because if you see what happened to Anand in a candidate match, it shows that hey, this guy is waking up. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't prepared for the match, the first match which he lost, and even they played the World Blitz Championship, even beat Magnus Carlsen. Mm-hmm. Right, so I think he has changed his attitude towards the game.
So yeah, the championship match is in Russia, Sochi, Russia, I think, and probably the pressure is off him being in his hometown of Chennai, where he grew up. And he said it wasn't a lot of pressure, but I think people realized that okay, he's playing in his hometown, and you know it was a madhouse, and he didn't perform well, obviously. But who are some of the players, the grandmasters that you've met over time that you've had a chance to, the higher grandmasters that you were impressed with?
I've got my favorite, you know, mediocre guy, Hikaru, you know. Oh. Yeah, of course, yeah. I speak a lot about him with his father, because I was with his father. And, Fabiano. I've met a couple of people who said we worked with Fabiano when he was little, and this is how he does it. Mm-hmm. He's the next champion, that kind of stuff. And I don't know about Aronian, but I was with Aronian in the last Olympiad. Yeah, we hanged out, but it's kind of strange. He's good, but maybe his opportunity will never come. Mm. He's just being unlucky. Whenever he's supposed to perform, he doesn't perform. Right. Like, for example, you won't be surprised if he gets a gold medal in the Olympiad.
Right, exactly.
But anywhere else, he won't get the medal.
Yeah, you know, because he has the talent, but it's and I've talked to Hikaru and players, and we talk about different players, and maybe it's just he doesn't have the fire. He's kind of an easygoing guy. Yeah. He's very easygoing when you talk to him. He has a lot of different interests, and maybe he's not totally focusing on this, but he may get a gold medal. So you will be in Tromsø next month.
Yes, I'll be there.
So are there any preparations that you're making now for the Olympiad?
Actually, I'm making adjustments to my lot of things, opening preparations, you know, some strategical stuff in the middle game, and knowing very well you can't win, you know, games in the opening and middle game anymore. You have to adjust your end games. That's something for sure.
So, and I'm pretty sure you've you're changing in a lot of ways. You've recently taken a wife, Respina. You introduced me to her yesterday. She's very impressive, you know, very elegant, and I'm very happy for you. And you were telling me the story that you met her here in the U.S. and she's from Zimbabwe, and that usually doesn't happen to meet your wife and you're away from home and you meet her here. And I just want to congratulate you on that, and hopefully that'll add 100 ELO points. They say marriage takes away 100 ELO points, but maybe this will add 100 ELO points. So how has that changed your approach to chess any?
It's kind of different, you know. It's, you know, when you get married, there are new responsibilities, you know. It not necessarily like, but I think it could be the other way around. When you get married, maybe it's better. Because when you have a girlfriend, you know, sometimes you have to cancel the tournament, say, hey, I can't miss a dinner, you know. Right. But this time she understands because she's within you now. It's like, it's a family thing now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so probably to gain, you know, 100 ELO points.
so you all were married here, but you're going to have a ceremony at home?
Yes, you know, whenever you're living in U.S., you end up having three weddings.
three weddings?
Yes. Of course, the first one is the traditional wedding, which was done in Zimbabwe in December, and then our legal wedding here.
And then the third?
The third one is the celebration when everybody's there and stuff like that. Okay. So, you know, we're probably going to have 250 guests.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I wish I could come, but I don't think I'll be able to make it. But I, you know, well wishes. You have a beautiful wife, and hopefully we'll have some young grandmasters coming, some Mandisa grandmasters coming one day. So I know you have to get ready for the next round. Starts at 10 o'clock, and I wish you. How are you doing in the tournament so far?
I think I haven't lost anybody lower than me. I've lost all 2600s.
Okay.
So I think even though the games are very close, you know, I just appreciate the fact that I haven't been active, so I deserve it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got any goals that you're trying to accomplish? Obviously Grandmaster, but you know, any tournaments that you're looking at possibly getting norms?
Mostly it's the Olympiad is coming up. Even here, I still have a chance. If I score my last two games, I'll probably get a norm.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Well, I wish you well, and you know, you're a favorite here now, especially in the New York area, and I'm pretty sure all the players in Africa would enjoy hearing this. Thank you for your time, and enjoy talking with you.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is the Chess Drum, and we're signing off. Thank you.